Blog Talk Radio.
All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queen. Let's go.
Girl, she's live in the building, shutting it down. You know what it is, man. It's Thursday, same time, same place, man. Street Queens, the movement, the sisterhood, women's empowerment. This is our show we do all the time. Then we shutting it down. Today, Street Queens present Behind the Bars Part 2, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, man. The truth about what it is, man. The difference between celebrities and regular people getting the same sentence, man. What's the difference? Telling about how people lying about bids, talking about they been in bids, did this, did that. But, you know, they really didn't. We're going to tell the truth, man. Real talk behind bars, street queens, and we're going to have a special thing for y'all. We might even have an actual inmate calling in behind bars. This is how we're going to do right here, live on Lush Radio, presenting the street queens, man. Quote of the day is, I believe man will merely endure, he will prevail, because he has a spirit capable of compassion, sacrifice, and endurance. William Faulkner. And I'm going to repeat that quote one more time for those that didn't hear it. I believe man will not merely endure, he will prevail, because he has a spirit capable of compassion, sacrifice, and endurance. Blood, sweat, and tears. William Faulkner, Behind the Bars Part 2 with the Street Queens, man. And like I said, everybody, man, you can call in at 347-826-7722, man. And, you know, even if you want to participate, you don't have to reveal your name. You can call in anonymously. I repeat, there will not be any profanity used. Please respect the panelists and other callers calling in. Every 15 minutes we go to the calls. You got 5 minutes. And if we don't get to you listeners or callers, please, we apologize in advance, man. And if you have any questions or comments, man, write to lushradiothemovement.ning.com. And any of the panelists will respond, or also check out the shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. And comment on our blogs at streetqueensthemovement.blogspot.com. And you can email us at streetqueensthemovement@gmail.com. Any letters, donations, or anything, et cetera, to Street Queens official P.O. Box 31512, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731-0512. So, you know, like I said, make sure you respect everybody on the call. I'm about to bring in my Street Queens, man, because this is how we do, man, all day, every day, man. Roll call. I see my girl Miss Toy live in the building. My girl Javita live in the building. Yes. My girl Cece live in the building.
Peace, queens.
Hey, lady.
Hey.
We back here like we do every Thursday at 8 p.m. live on Lush Radio.
What it is, man. Queens, let's take a moment to go ahead and do our little quick rundown and our shout outs. Go ahead and start, Miss Toy.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I got to big up all my ladies on the Street Queens panel, all my ambassadors. You know who you are. You're in the building with me already. I got to shout out Polo from Exclusive Fashion and Furs. I got
Polo Plug.
RJ the mascot up in Boston doing this thing. I also got to shout out 617 Live. That's a TV show up in Boston doing it real big right now. And all my friends and family listening, shout out to all of y'all. Too many. I can't take up that much time.
That's what it is. Javita, go ahead, Javita.
Well, I would like to give my shout-out to my family, friends, God, who I put first in my life, to you, Lush Radio, and to all my street queens for being on this call tonight. It's been a pleasure working with you all, and I definitely enjoy it every week. And I'd also like to go ahead and say that I'm sorry for the misstep when I spoke last week. about John Pelosi. In fact, it was Ralph Nader, so I'd like to publicly make that apology. And thank you all. And that's it.
But it is. CG, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to first say thanks to God for everything, to my family, my friends, you street queens. I love you, ladies. Just to my magazine family. Oh, and I wouldn't feel right if I didn't say, you know, a shout out to today. I had two of the best interviews I've ever done in my life, but I definitely want to give a shout out to Camp Low, because they are, you know,
wow.
For those who don't, definitely one of the greatest groups in my opinion, and they had a wonderful interview today. One of the most exciting interviews I've ever had. So shout out to them. Oh, and Lloyd, his was good too.
But it is. That's what it is. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, Miss Emma, E2K Magazine girl.
I'd like to shout out my street queens and give you a big hug and a big thanks for y'all supporting me the other day when I really needed it. And just want to shout out my family, all the listeners, my artist, Nyrene, everybody that's in New York that supports the E2K movement along with the street queens movement. Which is the positive movement. And that's it. You know, we're here every week. We appreciate you listening, calling, listen, you know, hit us on the chat room. And all the information that we give out on the show, just write it down and make sure that you contact us.
That's what it is, man. Those are my strong women on the panel doing they want to, doing that roll call, you heard, man. We doing our thing, man. Today we're talking about behind the bars, man. Blood, sweat, and tears, man. We're going to talk about real talk. Like I said before, you can call in anonymously. We won't press you out. Call in at 347-826-7722. The first thing we're going to start off with is we're going to do a comparison. We're going to do a comparison between the poor and the wealthy. We got wealthy people going to jail and doing longer bids, and then you got the famous, and they're coming out first or the second, the first or second day, doing 1 or 2 days, man. You know, how you feel about that? You know, the wealthy, you know, getting off for 1 or 2, 3 days, and then you got the people that are poor, and they doing like 10 to 3 years or life sentences, man. What's up with that, man? Ladies, let's speak on that, man.
Well, I mean, this is Ms. Toy speaking, and you know, it's a double standard across the board. It's interesting how, you know, we're going to talk about it much later on in the show, but, you know, a lot of people in the music industry glamorize drugs and, you know, guns and a gangster lifestyle. But then when they get caught up, it's like it's a joke because they only do a year or whatever. And my question is it because they have money? Is it because they're able to make, you know, payoffs or whatever the case may be? I mean, it's really an interesting topic and it needs to be addressed, but it happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's what it is, man. Go ahead, lady, speak on it, man. Don't be scared, man. Speak on it. Ow.
Well, I definitely agree with what she was saying, you know, they're supposed to be role models. And as role models, you're supposed to set a good example. And that means if you do the crime, you should do the time and not be expected to get off early compared to somebody else. Like one case where this kid, he was actually sent to prison for stealing 2 pieces of bubble gum, one for him and one for his sister. He did like a life sentence for that. But you got celebrities and people who can do all kind of things, like go down the highway the wrong way, et cetera, and they just get to walk from it. And it doesn't set a good example because they make it look like it's so cool and that it's hot to do that when it's really not. There are consequences for your actions, and you have to be prepared to accept those consequences when you make those mistakes in life.
And that's true, man. How you feel about that, CG?
I definitely agree with them being role models. There's a lot of kids who look up to them and look at what they do and what they say, and then look at, you know, when they get caught or when they get locked up, they only do a day, if that, you know, and then they start believing, oh, well, I'll get the same treatment. So then they go and do the same thing because they think it's cool. They think that, you know, Lindsay Lohan did it, or they think that, you know, Lil Wayne did it. And it's really the whole industry with the kids now, it's really about imitation. And if you know that there's people watching you and imitating you, you really want to try to just put across the best image, because there's so many naive and gullible, not just kids, but people out there. There are adults that's imitating these artists as well,
mm-hmm.
and getting caught up and getting completely different treatment than these people are. So, I mean,
and that's true. How you feel about that, Emma?
I mean, you know, I just don't want to keep repeating what the ladies already have said. I'm in agreement pretty much with what everybody's saying. As much as these artists understand and they know their role, it's still something about them, I don't know, proving something. If they're tougher, if one gets shot 9 times, if the other one gets 10, maybe the other one is, you know, will be more famous or whatever. I don't even know really what goes on in their head. But I think if they were to turn all that around and to really pay attention to more, doing more positive things, I mean, because hip-hop has a, music in itself has a big influence. I mean, not just hip-hop, you know, country, music, whatever. I'm just saying all across the board. If they really would emphasize, I mean, for God's sake, look at this girl, or what's her name, the young one, oh my God, Hannah Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, rich beyond belief. I mean, until they show that picture of her, you know what I mean. But, you know, they were dying for that moment. They were dying for that moment to break that, you know, that, oh, she's so Miss Goody Two Shoes. But she she was already rich because of her father. But, you know, she made her own money, and it was all positive stuff.
Yeah,
you know, so
that,
you can. It doesn't mean just because you're positive, you're not gonna make no money. You still can make money, and probably more, because Disney money is no joke. Nickelodeon money is no joke. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think everybody, the bottom
line everybody
is,
wants that Nickelodeon money, man.
Yeah, but it's not kid games when you're talking about real stuff that get people really caught up. It's like, you know, certain rappers, they can play in their lyrics about doing this and that. And then, yeah, when they go to jail and get locked up, they may do a year or do, you know, minimum time. But these young people on these streets are getting real time. It's
right.
Not a joke, and it's
absolutely
not a game. Like, you're
absolutely
glamorizing this lifestyle to the youth, and you're selling it to them. And it's like, why would you want to do that? Because they're the ones that are doing real time and ruining their lives and their family structures and everything because what? They think it's cute to be walk. Like, man, listen, I looked up the lyrics to some songs, right? And I'm only
mm-hmm.
bringing up this one because we're talking about this so early in the show. But there is an artist. I don't even want to air him out. I'm not even going to say his name because, you know, I don't even want to put nobody out there.
Oh, name dropping.
But it's him. But it's him.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to piss nobody off. But once if he just ever happens to hear this, he knows his lyrics. But, okay, basically he's talking about, you know, after 3 summers in the joint, I thought life was hard. Started fighting. Some found God. You know me, I started selling leak in the yard. Y'all ran into, because who used to have Hummers, big as whatever in the joint, wearing 86 numbers. And he's, like, going on and on about how he's been in jail and how he's
Lord
running up on people on the phones. And if you're not paying your loan, I'm going to ox you out in the yard. And it's like, are you serious? Have you ever even really been to jail in your life, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, man.
Why are you even talking about it?
It's right. Nonsense, man. And callers, we about to give y'all a difference, a comparison in regards to rich man, poor man. Basically, we're going to start off with Javita. She had 50 Cent. We're trying to do a comparison. So y'all see how a lot of this stuff is really biased, man. So we're going to give y'all the raw, Ricky Raw. Javita, go ahead and tell them the business, man.
Well, with my topic, I had 50 Cent, but the issue with him was he actually did his time, especially since he was not actually a celebrity at the time when he did get incarcerated. You know, he was born into the drug family and the drug lifestyle, and he actually came from generations of parents who were dealing in drugs and involved in it. But he managed to immerse himself in his music and come out a better person. Like, when you look at all of his accomplishments, like his G-Unit label and his clothing line, his movies that he's been in and that he's produced, like Get Rich, Die Trying, the book he wrote about that, and even his vitamin water deal and the magic stick thing. You look at him and artists like Jay-Z, who've done what they need to do, but at the same time are not trying to get back where they were and where they started from. Those are positive changes. But there are a lot of people out there who aren't as fortunate as 50 Cent, who actually are serving life sentences back to back that are concurrent and much longer than what 50 Cent had. Now, he actually was lucky in his sentencing in terms of him doing it, but he actually did his time. And that's all I have to say about that.
What exactly did he do, Javita? What was the case about?
Well, according to what I had, they were like, he actually was a crack dealer. He actually sold crack. He started selling that when he was 12. He actually started pushing weight, and he didn't do school. And he actually got his GED while he was in prison. That all before then, he hustled on the street, so he didn't really go to school. And, of course, what he said is that because his parents were both absent and his mother was killed, he had to support himself. He lived with his grandparents. So he had a lot of struggle. And it was actually Run DMC, Jam Master J Productions, that actually helped him to reach out to him and started him out on his trade. And that led him to Aftermath and Dr. Dre.
That's what it is, man. You see the comparison, man? This man, you know, selling it crack, you know what I'm saying, the rock. But, you know, he gets off. But you got people throwing life sentences, man. Come on, man. I mean, you see the difference? Miss Toy got another one, man. Miss Toy, go ahead and drop the knowledge on him, Toy.
Well, I did a little bit of research on my man, T.I. I mean, you know, I personally like him, you know, as an artist. I like his music. I listen to his music because, I mean, he comes across as a very educated dude outside of, you know, the issues that he got, you know, recently caught up with. And just give me a second. I'm pulling it all together. But, I mean, everybody pretty much knows the story of what recently happened to T.I. He got caught up on weapons charges because he attempted to purchase firearms and they obviously weren't registered. So, basically, his real name is Clifford Harris, and he is known as T.I., and he was arrested last October in Atlanta. I think it was definitely the day of the BET Awards, and they ran up on him in the parking lot, the U.S. United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, better known as the ATF.
Mm-hmm.
And they got him.
Better known as Alphabet Boys.
Okay, real talk, okay. And he basically came to the parking lot that day to get some unregistered machine guns and silencers that he had sent his bodyguard to go and purchase for him. As a matter of fact, yo, Lush, hold me down. I got to take a call real quick, okay?
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
So, but T.I. is going to do time, though.
Yes, isn't T.I. going to do time in regards to that situation?
Yeah, he's got time. He has to turn himself in, I believe it's in January.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He has to do about a year.
He's got to do one year,
yeah. Yeah, he has to do a year.
Yeah, he got to do a year, and I think they had him on house arrest or something, right?
Yeah,
they had him on house arrest.
Bless, enjoy him back. Listen,
yeah.
As we stated earlier in the show, we do have a special guest live on Lush Radio. He's on the line right now. And obviously, we're going to keep it very confidential. We're not going to say his name. We're not going to give any information about where he is, why he's there. But we do have an actual inmate that is incarcerated and has been down for 11 years. He's live on Lush Radio right now. Jay Money, what's good?
What's going on, y'all? All right?
Yeah.
I'm good.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just hanging in here, staying focused.
Ah.
So let me give you a little bit of background, my man. This is a panel of women called the Street Queens. We do a radio show every week, and this show is called Life Behind the Walls, right? That's what it's called? I'm all confused now. Yeah, Life Behind the Walls, you know, living while incarcerated. So what we're asking of you, we know you don't have a lot of time, and it's a very, you know, hard situation, but if you could, you know, give us a little bit of information about, definitely not why you're there, but just a little bit about your experience.
Well, I'm going to tell you, back in the day when I first came in the system, I can tell you that a lot of the rumors that you all may hear out there in the free world are true. In prison, you have death, you have rape. Death for one means life for another. It's basically like the rules of the jungle. You know, you got guys that actually prey on the younger guys that come in the system. In fact, in one of the roughest prison systems in the state of Georgia, I just said that one of the prison systems in the state of Georgia, I witnessed myself that not only do the other inmates prey on the younger guys, but also officers prey on the younger guys. I have witnessed guys get turned out, come in the dorm, want to be cool 1 minute, drinking Bombay's. And I don't know whether y'all familiar with what a Bombay is, but a Bombay is just a mixture of a drink that a lot of guys drink and stuff and get themselves up in the air, and then they want to smoke. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in a room with the lights out, guys, you know, doing whatever they do to them. And not only that, but, you know, you got police brutality. I mean, it's down here in the South, it's very, I'm talking about, hey, it's at the highest esteem down here as far as the brutality and things like that. The incompetence, the unprofessionalism, favoritism. And then you got the monopolies also that take place. You know, it's like a modern-day slavery down here. You know, people working for free, they slaving them.
They got education stuff like y'all, any books, anything, man?
Oh, yeah, you have education, but you know the things that present it. You have to make yourself available for those things or find yourself in a position in order to receive what they have. A lot of guys don't have the position to just receive what they got as far as the education-wise.
So what are some of the programs that they have for you? Because I know that you took very good advantage of some of the opportunities there where you are because you have been incarcerated for a long time. So you have taken advantage of some of the programs. You want to talk about that?
Well, I took advantage. I got my GED. Not only that, I've been on on-the-job training. On the job training for general office clerk. I'm also general office clerk supervisor. And at this present time, I'm also involved in another program. I'm going to keep the name inside because it's only one prison that had this program.
It's all good. Yep, keep that under wraps.
Yeah, so, and it's like, hey, look, it's very serious, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, my time limit, I'm trying to talk fast as I possibly can, but I will let you know this, that you have opportunities in prison just as well as you have opportunities out there. But we are limited to a certain degree in prison to our opportunities. So, personally, I just done took advantage of everything because my time coming to an end. And shortly, I'll be going home, and at the same time, upon getting out, I'm just going to utilize everything that I put in my tool belt since I've been incarcerated. So I want to make myself an asset to society instead of a liability.
Right.
That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing.
Definitely.
Well,
yeah.
So, ladies, I mean, if you have any questions for him, shoot. He don't got that much time.
Go ahead, ladies.
I'm just grateful that you know, you still holding off, you know, for so long, and I just pray to God that the same, you know, that same positive thought you have now, like when you come home and all that, that you continue to do that. Even though out here, I don't know, you know, I've never been in prison, but out here is no piece of cake neither, and you're gonna get frustrated when you come home. I'm just telling you to hold on, and you know, and don't go back, please, don't go back.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. You know, one thing I share with you from experience, so I've seen so many people that have now, we started out together. They done gotten out, came back in, got out again, and yet they still, their mindset is just stuck, they tunnel vision, you know, and it seems like they don't have no vision, they don't have no goals. See, you got to practice today for the person you're going to be tomorrow, and that's something that's been instilled, in me, because, see, I believe that opportunities, the future belongs to those that see the possibilities before they become obvious. And right now, you're dealing with a world where the economy is gone for falling, but you still could take advantage of what's going on out there inside. But if you ain't got no plan, then somebody else going to have a plan for you. So, therefore, I begin to plan now. And every day I come up with different things, different, you know, just something to keep myself going because I never know what I might have to end up doing once I get out, but I want to keep it positive.
Right. I have a question for you. I mean, you've been in for a long time. Tell me, like, your first year, what were some of the things that you really struggled with? Like, if you can think back that far, like, your first year, your first feelings, you know, when you first got there, what were you really struggling with?
Well, when I first came in the system, I came in the system, I was 18 years old. And when I came inside the system, the first thought I had in my mind, I said, well, I'm going to have to make an example out of somebody off top. And as we were traveling on the bus, and when we got to the prison system is so big, and I just said to myself, I said, well, I know that I may not never get out of prison. I said, why? Because I may even have to kill somebody in prison. I don't know. That was my mindset. So upon walking inside the prison, I had did juvenile time prior to coming to prison. So therefore, I ended up seeing some guys that already knew me. And you know, your reputation can exceed you. And here it is. A lot of people already knew me before I got there. And that helped me out a whole lot because being that the reputation I had when I got to prison, therefore everything was kind of smooth for me when I got in there. But one thing I did struggle with was that some of the guys that came up there with me, I had to fight along with them because a lot of them, they didn't have no experience of being locked up and dealing with some of the things that I seen. So, therefore, a lot of times I got into trouble trying to help them out and find myself, you know, in the hole for just basically just trying to. It just really hurt me to see some guys find themselves falling weak to the system, you know. And that one thing I really did with that. Now, knowing that not only was I doing time, but my family was doing time with me. So
everything that I did
at first, I didn't realize it, but, you know, that first year was real hard because my mom, she was just in a situation where she was struggling, and I was going to get a house built, and I was doing all these things, and I didn't realize that I hurt the many people I did when I came to prison. But after a few years, I realized that it ain't all just about me, you know.
Right.
And that's something that really just, for years, that really just hurt me, just knowing that I hurt my family. Not on that, even, you know, the victim and all that stuff in the case. You know, I'm locked up, as I thought I was. But just knowing that, you know, you hurt somebody that, you know, that love you the most, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to say the Street Queens, we're having a Christmas, you know, thing where we're giving cards to people in prison. So if you, you know, could help us out with any names or anybody that we could send Christmas cards, you know, anybody who doesn't really, you know, get many letters or anything, that would definitely help us out because we want to reach out to, you know, anyone else who's in prison because, you know, you guys need love too.
Okay.
Yeah, just mail it to me, my man.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That means so much. In prison, it's the little things that make a big difference. Just receiving a letter from somebody really blesses the guy's heart to keep on going because a lot of guys just made bad decisions and they found themselves in a situation or a position that they had to do something quick and they thought and it was over with and here they landed up in prison. But a lot of guys have opened their eyes and they have vision now. You know, you have a lot of guys in prison now that realize that they messed up and they're ready to get out and do the right thing.
Right.
You know,
That's what it is. I was going to bring in Kingpin AS. He actually has, they working on trying to, once y'all get out, trying to, like, help you guys outside, you know, the walls and stuff to try to get y'all, you know, together and stuff. Kingpin, you live, Kingpin.
I'm with you, Kingpin AS, Heat Magazine, A Nation.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, King.
You know
what's going on right now?
I'm listening. Okay. I was listening to the brother. I came in. I'm listening to the brother. Then, you know, my sister told me he was locked up. You know, I did 13 years in prison. So,
okay.
And I just got out. I ain't even been out for 2 years yet.
Okay.
You know.
You did time on top?
Hey, I'm in Michigan right now, so I did time in the state.
Okay.
I did time all over. That's a whole nother show.
I see, bro.
But what I did want to say, because you know we got a magazine called Heat, and this whole thing is a nation. But I'm gonna tell you how this started. We have something called POSE. It's Prisoners of Street Economics. And you know when I was on the streets, I used to be part of a street gang, CBLs.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, actually, I was an IVL, insane vice lord, but then when I went to prison and started learning about my history and actually the history of the organization as far as the CVL, it was like, okay, I'm really in some revolutionary shit, I'm really into some revolutionary stuff, but I really just didn't know it. So, we created this situation in prison. Well, a lot of the conscious brothers, being that you're in prison, you know how prison is. And a lot of people don't understand that, like, if you watch a movie, most of the things that you think about prison, it's true. But it's only a small percentage of prison. You know, so, you know, a lot of people look at prison, the movies, and read these books, and they think, you know, prison is just a whole bunch of animals. It's just... I remember my mother used to write me and tell me, like, she used to pray every day. Every time she watch a movie or a TV show or something about prison, she think, you know, something like that, you know, happening to me. You know what I mean? But I had to explain to her that everything that, you know, that people say about prison is true, but it's only a small percentage. You have everything in prison. You know, most people that I was around was conscious comrades. These brothers taught me things about myself that I didn't know about myself. And it wasn't how to flip no birds, or, you know what I'm saying, break down no bomb. It wasn't nothing like that. They taught me who I was, my history, you know, and everything about myself. So we created this organization called POSE. And basically what POSE was, we understood that it's some people in POSE that has life in prison. But they took an interest in me to say, okay, well, you know, somebody got to get out first. And you know, we didn't try the whole bunch of brothers. A whole bunch of brothers and went out and came back. You in prison, so you know a lot of brothers who, the time you done been, they done been out and came back.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, and that's disheartening, for, you know, for us when we locked down like that. Like, damn, is that hard out there? We, you know what I'm saying? That's what we got to look forward to out there?
Hey, say it right. Say it out. You listen?
Yeah. Hey, Kingpin, because he only got a little bit of time. You got to wrap it up real quick, bro.
Let him speak. Let him speak. What was you going to say, Jay?
Yeah, I was just going to say, right, now, you know my situation, right? You know, uh-huh. I should say that I understand where the brother coming from. I'm very knowledgeable. I'm a knowledgeable person about the Vice Lord, gangster disciples and all that, you know what I mean? You know, I done been to 8 prisons, too. You know, I done been around, matter of fact, in the roughest prison in the state of Georgia, you know what I mean? And I know it's serious. And like I say, you know, if you got your mind made up to go out there and do what you got to do, then really it ain't going to be nothing stopping you as long as you stay on the right track and don't deviate from the track that you're on. But like I'm saying, I ain't got much time, right? So I'm just going to say this. I really appreciate you all, you know what I mean? And y'all stay up. Y'all do y'all thing. And just know that you got some brothers in here that really trying to make a difference, you know what I'm saying? Not only in here, but even once we get out. I just really feel like this way God preparing his people for a great work.
Mm-hmm. Just know that you got people out here that think about you too. You heard?
Oh, man.
They want you to do good.
Exactly.
And hey, that makes a big difference when you know you got outside support, because a lot of people ain't got nobody. So
that's what it is,
what
man.
Doing. Yeah, y'all keep doing. What you big doing, bro. Everybody know they need somebody.
We love you, big
man. We got you.
Yeah.
Hold your head up.
I'm gonna do that. You know, I'm gonna stay up. One thing about me, hey, I don't let nothing get me down. I got a joy that can't nobody take away.
That's it.
I got a joy, you know. We do a whole lot of things. I say probably there's a lot of most stuff that I would say, you know what I'm saying, but this is my situation that I can't say, you know what I'm saying.
I understand.
I'm actually a very political prisoner, and not on that, but I'm well known in the system down here in Georgia. And, you know, it probably won't be too hard to attract somebody like
that.
Yeah, because I done did so much, and, you know, it ain't hard. Over the years, like I said, I have done a lot of bad, but my good way, it screams to override my bad, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, but I got about 5 more minutes, and I need to put something in your ear before I get off this phone, all right?
All right. Well, I'm going to take you off, Toy, all right, and call back in.
No, he said he has 5 minutes. He's going to tell us something.
Oh, okay. I thought he wants to you probably. Go ahead.
I'm on the tour for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, I'm out. I'll holler back in a minute, y'all.
Okay.
All right. Peace.
Thank you. All right.
Man, that was some serious stuff right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
When I called in, he was talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times when I did a lot of interviews with guys in prison, I get over 2,000 letters a week from prisoners, you know. And it's, you know, some... I was there, right? Not just, you know, out here is different. And I'm going to tell you, like, a lot of times brothers building in there, and we build it off of a fantasy in all reality. And I'm going to say that because what we think exists don't really exist out here. You know, that it has to be made. When I came home, you know, I'm an author. I wrote a book. I wrote a book called Life and Love. And when I wrote that book, really, I'm not an author. I write, but my whole point of doing the book was just expressing myself, expressing the things that was in me, because there was no other way for me to express, and I couldn't live the life, so I wrote about it, you know, what I wanted to become, you know, everything I learned, how could I apply that, so I applied that in characters. But when I came out here, I thought, like, man, you know, this is literature, and, you know, I had studied the Harlem Renaissance and Bronzeville and all these great, you know, black renaissance of literature, and I really thought a lot of people out here was conscious, especially in the book world, but that's really not the case. And a lot of brothers become disheartened because, to be honest with you, I could be out here doing what a lot of these other brothers doing. It's that easy. It's that easy for me to be back in prison. I could have been there. If it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for my wife, if I didn't have that, if I only had me, you know, I would have been a conscious brother who turned back into the beast. So it's like we need people out here, you know,
This is Emma, E2K Magazine. I want to ask you a question because I'm 40 years old. I've been pen palling with people in prison since I was 16 years old. And I've did a lot of bids with a lot of dudes, and I've seen them. I mean, I read their letters. I felt their pain, and they came home, and, you know, all that song and dance that they did while they was in there, it just doesn't take play once they're out. Some of them, I realized that they get scared. You know, they're used to being confined and being in a certain uncertain space. And anything bigger than that scares them, which is the world when they come out here and that they can actually do what they want. And they end up going back. And that's usually the dudes that bid more than 10. I have one friend that bid 18 years, and he came out. And, you know, in 18 years, the world done changed over and over again. So, like you say, everything he remembered and everything that he thought wasn't. So he had to start anew. And lucky thing that we created a strong foundation around him, and he got to meet a good woman, and you know, he's doing positive things. But it wasn't an easy thing for him, you know, because it's like a new life. It's literally a new life. Like, you know, the store that he remembered here is not there, and his friends that lived over there are dead or whatever. So he has to make new friends, and everything is new, and then. He was locked up 18 years, so to get a job is like, you know, they ask you, you know, have you ever been locked up? You say yes. They say, how long? 18. You say it's a murder. They're looking at you like, nigga, you crazy? Like, so, you know, how is he going to get, you know, make his money? It's hard. I think I've never been to prison again, but I think I've learned enough through the years that I've actually corresponded with prisoners to know that I believe it's a lot scarier out here than it is in there. You know, in there, at least you know what's coming to you. Out here, you don't. It's a guessing game every day. And if you're not focused and if you don't have that structure of family and a good woman beside you or whatever, that's why most of, and women too, they end up going back.
I'm going to tell you, even everything you said is true, but it's even deeper than that. I'm going to tell you how deep it is. See, when you go to prison, most of us, all we knew was the streets. Like, I didn't know no positive stuff. And like, even though I knew positive things in my family, but I wasn't doing it. You know, so I never lived no life that was, you know, that was what I dreamed of. So when I dreamed of these things when I was in prison, I created a fantasy because I had to create things, I had to base off of things I didn't know. You know what I mean? So I thought, you know, the more I studied, the more I, you know, learned it. Like, man, you need family. You need God. You need these type of things, but I had that in prison. I had a cipher, a circle of people who was that to me, who every day we built. Like, you know, if I wasn't lifting weights, I was studying. You know, I wasn't playing games and following. Only thing I was doing as far as games is chess. You know what I mean? So you got brothers who create a positive life in prison. But then when they come home, they try to make that transition. Now, that's the hard part because, see, now it ain't even about, you know, if the store there no more because those things that you knew, you're trying to be away from. You're trying to be something different because you didn't live 10 years as a positive and powerful figure in your environment, which was prison. I did a lot of great things in prison, you know, just who I was and the things that I was trying to do. I did a lot of great things in prison. But when you come out here...
Hey, big boy, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just got to knock out those two things within my segment, and we're going to come right back to you. Dara, I know you're live on the phone, and Toy, you're on the phone, and any callers that want to comment in regards to that, 347-826-7722, and we're going to bring you in a few. Dara, I think you had Lindsay Lohan. We still were doing a comparison in regards to...
Yes, I'm here. I had Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. And with Paris Hilton, she was charged with two misdemeanors, which was driving under the influence and blood alcohol level, which was above 0.08 or higher. And her maximum punishment was supposed to, you know, she had to pay $1,000 in a fine, and she served 45 days in jail, in the L.A. County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Lindsay Lohan, she was charged with seven misdemeanors with her within her two DUI arrests, and which was made up by two counts each of driving under the influence of cocaine, driving under the influence, driving with a blood alcohol level above 0.8, and one count of reckless driving. They said they found cocaine in the scene of the crime, but not enough was found for a felony filing. To avoid her jail time, she checked into rehab. And what was strange about the whole thing was that her lawyer got a situation for her where she didn't even have to show up for court. He went for her. Now, in regards to what normal people will get for the same crimes, for a first offense of driving under the influence with a DUI and all that other stuff, the normal penalty is supposed to be 4 hours in jail for the first offense. Community service, you have to go to AA classes for 15 weeks, 4 months of license suspension, 3 years of probation, and 7 years, or up to 7 years, with 2 points on your license. Now, for a second offense, which was supposedly what Lindsay Lohan should have had, was either A, 10 days to a year in jail, plus an 18-month license suspension, or she would have had 48 hours to a year in jail, an 18-month to 30-month alcohol and drug program, a license restriction allowing only driving to work and to the program, and she was supposed to have an installation of an interlocking device for 18 months. And that's to where you have to blow into that machine that's attached to your steering wheel, and if you're drunk, the car will not turn on.
Mm-hmm.
But she avoided all of that, and so did Paris, based on what I would say fame and income.
And that's the differences that we have right now, that, you know, average people are doing crazy bids, but we got all these stars, and they getting off doing 1 or 2, 3 days. CG has one also. CG, go ahead and give them the knowledge real quick, and I'll jump into mine, and then we'll come back into the open discussion.
Okay.
You forgot me.
Oh, and Emma, we got Emma. We got, well, actually, CG will go, and then we're going to do Emma.
Okay.
Then I'll jump in.
So my person was Plies, and Plies' situation is a little different from Paris and Lindsay. Plies is claiming to have done, you know, jail time or you know, been in the system. And Hip Hop DX, which is a hip hop website, they obtained documentation from the state of Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and it states that his first real run-in with the law was just 2 years ago. And that stemmed from he had a concert on July 2nd, 2006, and his microphone got cut off. So another artist by the name of Little Boozy, I think, could perform. So Plies' brothers fired guns and were charged with attempted murder. Now, Plies' charge was for being in the vehicle with the weapons, and that was a misdemeanor charge, and he served no jail time. They also pulled his record and showed that the only thing on his record was 5 traffic offenses, a citation for not having his driver's license, another one for driving with dark tint on his car windows, and another one for playing his car stereo too loud. And this is just an example of how in hip-hop, you know, people claim to be one thing. Plies is a self-proclaimed goon, and just to give you a sample of one of his lyrics, there's a song called Running My Mama Crazy, in which he says, and I quote, "Remember the night, me sitting up in a cold cell. I'm waking you up out your sleep. It's me calling you from jail." He also says in another song, "Damn my PO," and y'all tell her I said it. And it's just basically this, the website HipHopDX, they have the documentation proving that. I mean, in hip-hop, you know, I guess it's all about an image. I mean, even in the videos, it profiles him as a high, you know, top-selling drug dealer, you know. And, I mean, people, and I'm not saying everyone in the hip-hop industry, but some people feel like they need to put on this image to be something that they're not. I mean, Plies is an educated, you know, college graduate.
Wow.
Yeah, putting out there, man. Come on, man. You know. Emma, go ahead and drop the knowledge on him, Emma, man. Hit him with the knowledge, Emma.
Well, I got Nicole Richie. And Nicole Richie, where's my paper? Oh, unbelievable. Nicole Richie is Lionel Richie's adopted daughter. You know, it's not his biological daughter, but it was to the marriage. Great. I have all my information. Now I got a freestyle. I'm a rapper now. Anyway, February 03, she was arrested for heroin possession. And in February, when she got arrested, her race was changed from white to black. She was put down as her race being white. And the arresting officer decided that it be changed to black. December 11, 2006, she was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence and posted a $15,000 bail. Then on August 23, 2007, after surrendering to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department to begin serving 4 days in jail for a DUI conviction. And that's all she did, was 4 days.
Wow, man. You know, look at that, man. 4 days. Come on, man. Heron, come on, man. You know, people going to slap you in the slammer and then throw the books at you and just shut up. Come on, man. Let's get real, man. How did they get away with all this, man? I'm doing a comparison between R. Kelly and your man Michael Jackson.
Woo.
Michael Jackson paved the way for us to even have anybody just being in the music, basically. He paved the way, man. All these ushers, all these singers, R. Kelly himself. Your man, R. Kelly, is a pedophile. He knows he's a pedophile, 37-year-old singer, having sex with young women, you know what I'm saying, 14. He said on the news, on the interview, that he didn't know how young was young. He knows he's a pedophile, but yet, His supporters still support him, still buy his music, and he flew. He got off on it. A regular pedophile would spend plenty of time in jail, and at the same time, don't let nobody in there that's doing a bit with you hard time find out you a pedophile, you rape babies. They going to take you. They going to take that manhood from you. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? Then you got your man Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, come to find out, they saying, okay, he got his first molestation charges, but he was really never really charged for the cases. They said, come to find out, the guy that actually that was the father of the child actually basically had a vendetta towards Michael Jackson, you know, and they had a lot of loopholes through it. You know, he never really was charged for the case, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Your man, Michael Jackson actually had this whole stigmatism in regards to the fact that he was a pedophile. I mean, they destroyed this man's career. But yet R. Kelly can pee on a young woman. He can do whatever he wants to a little girl, you know, but he gets off. What is America coming to? Because you got money, you can rape little babies?
Michael Jackson pay off like a couple of $1 million to that family, though?
He paid off a couple of $1 million just to keep it on hush-hush, but at the same time, they said they had loopholes, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm not going to say that he should get off because Michael Jackson was molested when he was younger. He was molested, but at the same time, that doesn't give him leeway to be raping babies. But R. Kelly went and he raped a baby, and he got off. And people still support him. So is music basically telling us it's okay to rape babies?
No, but I got to disagree because, I mean, he didn't. This is the thing. With Michael Jackson came out and actually said that he feels that it's okay for him to sleep in the bed with, you know, with kids. And they play Peter Pan and do whatever else. I mean, to me, that's sick. you don't get in the bed with, you know, with have these kids in your bed as a grown man and play Peter Pan and whatever
and
else.
It's just boys because he don't mess with girls.
The same thing with R. Kelly. Now, he is definitely he has an issue. I believe he's a pedophile. But he didn't rape a baby, even though he did have sex with a young girl. But we can't say he raped her because it was consensual sex. Now, he he has more power over. That's why they call it, what do they call it? It's not molestation. But when
He seduced her. But I'm saying, come on, she's a baby, though. She's young.
Exactly.
It's still considered a statutory rape case. I mean, look at the lady who was a teacher who had a baby with a student, and she got, like, what was it, 14 years? I mean, I feel like those stars should be getting the same charge. They should be the same conviction.
He definitely should have. R. Kelly shouldn't have. He definitely shouldn't have got off at all. But
It's not okay.
It's not okay at all. But I think to say that he raped a baby, I think that's, you know,
okay, all right. I'm gonna let me rephrase that. I'm not gonna say he raped the baby, but I just think that the fact that you're 30 some years old and the child is, like, you know, young enough to be your daughter, come on, man.
Yeah, that's
perverted.
What's that call for?
That's a pervert.
That's perverted. Yeah.
And on that note, I'm gonna bring in a caller that actually wanted. I'm gonna take the caller in. 309. What was that, man? I don't know what that was.
The chat room. You know, the chat room goes after.
It sounds like on my radio.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no.
Can you turn the radio down, 309? I'm trying to bring you in. Turn it down a little bit.
They're listening.
309, you're live on Lush Radio with the Street Queens and Kingpin AS. How do you feel about that? 309?
Right here.
Moving forward.
What's the deal, man?
What's up?
How you feel about the situation?
I'm chilling. Oh, about the situation with the R. Kelly and stuff?
Yeah, or any of the situations in regards to, you know, poor against richer, you know, in regards to how they doing biz. How you feel about it?
Say that one more time about how they doing what?
You got wealthy versus poor serving more time. You got the poor serving more time than the wealthy. How do you feel about that and the R. Kelly situation?
Well, that's how the system goes. When you have money, you know what I'm saying, you get away with way more things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, money is like power nowadays. You know what I mean? If you have a lot of money, you get off on a lot of things. Now, with the R. Kelly thing, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how that is in relation to the Michael Jackson thing, because they both like musical superstars. And R. Kelly didn't get off, but, you know, everybody scrutinized Michael Jackson for doing what he did. You know, I think he's one of the greatest entertainers in the world. But, you know, people threw stones at him. And, you know, there's no justification for you, you know, laying in the bed with some kids. You know what I'm saying? There's no justification for that. So I don't care who you are or what age you are, what background you come from, poor middle class, anybody who's in a situation like that, touching some kids or whatever the case may be, you know, needs to be, you know, penalized. Because that's not cool at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm not feeling none of that.
And that's good talk. What's your name again, player?
This is Rodamez.
Okay, Rodamez. Oh, just ladies, I want to introduce you to Rodamez. Rodamez is a hip hop artist. He wanted to talk in regards to people, you know, perpetrating like they, you know, that they're doing. It's wrong to be. They act like it's wrong to be smart. But he has degrees and he's an MC. He doesn't use profanity in his lyrics, and he's trying to, you know, actually propose the fact that we need to go back to actually supporting people that have education instead of lying and saying you're doing 50 million bids. He said, no, I ain't do a bid. I did 4 years in college. You know what I mean? You know, that's what it is. You know?
Rush, can I make one point briefly before we get to R. Kelly?
Okay, because I'm very interested in what this gentleman has to say. But I think it's interesting that R. Kelly calls himself the Pied Piper of R&B.
Yeah.
Because the Pied Piper, if anyone doesn't know, he's basically a dude. Like, this is a fable. It's a story. And, like, that. Yeah, he leads kids. He led children into a cave by playing the flute, young children, and they were never seen again.
Yeah.
And it's
That's
like,
crazy.
Why would he call himself the Pied Piper of R&B?
He was pissing on him.
You know what? Like, you know what?
Exactly. He got issues. And
yeah, I mean, it's a little twisted.
Quick. I would like to have a quick conversation. I don't wonder if he thrives on the fact that he does that. You know what I mean? I don't know the background and how he feels about that. I would just like to have a fly on the wall with him talking to one of his like close friends. You know what I mean? Like, is that cool?
Hey, somebody actually told me, I'm not sure if it's true, so don't quote me on this. Apparently when R. Kelly and Jay-Z were supposed to do a show together, right? Apparently he tried to get at one of his peoples that were kind of young, minor, and apparently they said that's why they didn't do the show together. But don't quote me on this. That's what somebody said.
Well, R. Kelly surrounds
himself with a lot of yes people, so nobody dares tell R. Kelly or question him on anything that he does. He surrounds him. Anytime you say no to him, you're X'd out. When Neo was trying to do that concert, when he was doing the concert too, R. Kelly, like, when he walks down the hallways, you can't look at him. They actually put up like a towel and all that, and you cannot address him, you cannot talk to him, none of that. Even Neo himself cannot go up to him and talk to him and have a conversation with him. So he didn't get permission. So he has a lot of issues. R. Kelly has a lot of issues, and he will never get the help he seeks because he surrounds himself by people that are really doing him more damage, and that's all the yes people that he has around him.
And
you know, that's the interview where they asked him, you know, do you date teenage girls? And he said, well, how young is teenage? How young are you talking?
Find a teenager.
You know, that's
same thing,
right?
Michael Jackson saying that he didn't know that it was wrong to sleep with, you know, with the kids in the same bed and letting them see him naked. So look
all
at them. Look at it. Sometimes when you're such a genius, it's
yeah.
scary. You know what I mean?
It's,
because
you do some crazy things. You do some crazy
mm-hmm.
things. Sounds yeah. I agree with that.
And on that note, I'm gonna bring in two more callers to voice their opinion. Razin, I'm gonna bring you back in when we go on to the next joint, guy, my dude. 410, you're live on Lush Radio with the Street Queens. How do you feel about that situation?
What's good, this is Chief. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Oh, hail the Chief.
Hey.
What's up, the Queens? What's good? Yeah, R. Kelly definitely needs help. I definitely agree with that. I think I called it earlier. I was talking about the DUI. I don't know if y'all familiar with the artist Raz Kaz from California.
Uh-huh.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, because he's currently serving time on, like, his third DUI. So
wow.
I was thinking it might be the fact that, like, Paris and Lindsay are actually Caucasian, that they can get off. And I think certain artists.
Jeez, what are you cooking food or something? What's up with them pots and pans, man? What's up with that?
That's not me.
Can I have some?
Somebody cooking.
Yeah.
Somebody buying some chicken.
Go ahead, though. Go ahead, T.
That's all good. No, but I mean, another artist, Gucci Mane, I don't know if y'all discussed him.
No.
Because he's doing a year, but he actually got, like, a whole bunch of community service that he just never did, unlike T.I.,
wow.
who actually did his community service.
Yeah, I didn't even get to finish talking about T.I. at all.
Okay.
You went to a call.
But Gucci was basically saying that, you know, the celebrity life, it was too much for him to handle pretty much, like all this stardom. But he's doing a year.
Wow.
Oh, Gucci Man said that it was too much for him to handle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Great.
He didn't even do that much stuff. He made that much money?
Like that?
Yeah,
he
like,
made that much
that
money
again?
For you?
I'm lost.
But you know,
down south people love him, so I don't know.
I'm saying, but he made money like that.
That's what it is. Hey, Chief, hold for me, man. I got to bring in the next caller. We got to move on to the next one, right? Hold on for me real quick, man. Okay. You got 619, man. You're live on Lush Radio, man. 619? Okay, 619. I'm going to ask one more time, 619. You there? You got it on mute? What's good?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
I didn't know I was on the radio.
Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hey. I had you guys on speakerphone. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Where are you? What's going on? How are you?
I'm great. I'm in California. I am a law student.
Okay.
So good. Did you have some comments on that?
Peace, little princess.
Hi.
Hi, Ma. Thanks for calling in.
I love you guys. I miss you guys. You're the best.
Love you, too. How you doing in school? That's a law student that's out there, a positive woman that's studying law. I want to introduce you to the Street Queens. Say hello to the Street Queens and touch on the topic.
Hi, Street Queens. What's the topic? I heard something about R. Kelly and geniuses, and ask me a question.
Well, how do you know about the topic?
No, we were just talking about in regards to R. Kelly and Michael Jackson about, you know, basically just stars themselves just, you know, getting off for, you know, charges and sentences while a regular average person will have to do the maximum time in regards to the different situations, especially like pedophiles.
Oh, okay, I can tell you what I think about that. I think that is extremely unfair that celebrities can get away with crimes that regular people don't get away with just because of their status. I think that we're all supposed to be following the same laws of the same country that we all live in.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Amen. Amen.
And I definitely agree with what you're saying. But, you know, in regards to them always getting off because of the money, you know, the economy is looking at how much they can get out of these artists. That, you know, artists like T.I. make more money being out than they do in, and you can charge taxes for that as opposed to having them locked up. But I definitely agree that they should be held accountable for what they do, just like the average person. But at the same time, from the government standpoint, they don't have to pay as much. We don't have to pay taxes for them being incarcerated when they can just pay that back to the government while they're out working.
Now, do you think these lawyers should take should be accountable, too, for making that happen? Because if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't be coming out. Do you think that they actually, I mean, not do you think, but you know that they prey on these artists. The more they know they have money and the more famous they are, all these lawyers are just running to get that case because all they see is ching-ching.
Corruption. I want to, my goal in life is to be one of the few honest attorneys that are actually stay honest. I know a lot of people in law school say that, but I'm going to stick to that because that's my morality factor right there.
I hope so.
That's what it is, man. And we appreciate you so much, Law Princess. And you are a Street Queen ambassador, you know. You know, spread the word, and we love you and everything. And we hope that you do great in school, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening.
That's what it is.
Now, I still say I think we need to, I know we're focusing on how celebrities get off and get over, but we also got to look at the couple of celebrities that, you know, the system made examples of. You know, that happens to them as well. I mean, it's kind of like a hit or miss. Either you get all the way off or you're made an example of. You know, like Lil' Kim. I don't know who has Lil' Kim or who did her, but.
I have her information if you want.
You have her information too? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Lil' Kim, she got basically, she had to go to jail because she didn't tell about a situation that happened a shootout that happened in front of a studio. Well, obviously, Lil' Kim, everybody knows Lil' Kim. She's pretty popular.
Perjury.
Yeah, she got charged with conspiracy to commit perjury. And basically, they're saying that she lied to investigators about her involvement in the shooting, where one person was shot in the back. And, you know, initially, you know, they said Kim wasn't even there when it happened. And then they found out that she was there, and then there was another woman that was involved also by the name of Monique Dopwell, that is a friend of Kim's, who also lied when they asked, you know, when the grand jury asked her about the shootout. And little Kim, you know, she had to actually do time. And little Kim went, how long was the last she actually went behind?
How long she did?
She had to do a year.
It was about a year. And it actually turned out to be one day less than a year.
She was locked up in a cellie for...
Yeah, they held that to that.
Yeah, but she did. She had to do that time. And she had to do it for real. Like, you know, they say that, you know, like Paris Hilton and some of the other celebrities go to these, like, cushy prisons where it's not really, like, a prison. It's not really, you know, like, really hard, like a real penitentiary. Like, Martha Stewart went to jail, and she went to, like, some nice little ranch.
But what is a real not jail thing? Isn't jail jail? I mean,
no,
is there really a difference between?
Because it's maximum and it's minimum security prisons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of them are different. Some of them are different.
Hey, ladies, on that note. We got to cut to commercial, man. You know what I'm saying? Sorry to cut you off. I love y'all to death, though. Y'all know I love you. But we're going to cut to commercial real quick. And then I want to send a shout-out to all my people in the chat room, you know, listening to us. You know, all the ladies love y'all. And to all the callers, we're going to bring y'all in a second. I'll bring Ra in a minute when we talk about the music and the image that it, you know, shows the youth and everything like that. But for right now, ladies, I want y'all to go ahead and hold on to that thought, because we'll be right back in a moment.
If you're looking for official management, man, look no further. Your man, Mr. DJ Finesse, a.k.a. DJ Mason Storm, has the hottest management group worldwide, Mace Management Group, LLC, doing it now. If you're an indie artist and you're looking for somebody to have your best interest and have that street credibility, man, it's your man, DJ Mason Storm, DJ Finesse, Mace Management Group, man, shutting it down, man. Also, man, if you're a producer and you need somebody to manage you, holla at your man, Mason, man. It won't stop. We can't stop. Bad Boy, the official DJ of Bad Boy, shutting it down. Also, if you need DJ services, holla at your man, man. It's nothing but exclusive stuff all here, baby. Holla at your man, Mason Storm, at www.myspace.com, Bad Boy with an S, official, O-F-F-I-C-I-A-L, DJ, Bad Boy's official DJ, man, shutting it down. Or holler at his email at chosenone369@aol.com. It's not a game, man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it. Yeah, this is your girl, Lushy Lush, and I'm just telling you, man, if you want nothing but the exclusive fashion, nothing but custom-made jackets, from furs to shoes to boots, anything you want to make you feel sexy, we have exclusive fashion and furs, yeah, holla exclusive fashion and furs at www.myspace.com, exclusive fashion, the number 4, real, or www.myspace.com/PotterJoh, PotterJoh, or call them at 860-777-6578, and baby, if it's not exclusive, it's not fashion. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens.
Lushy Lush, man. You're live with the Street Queens, part two of Behind the Bars, man. You know, we had a straight up, you know, inmate that called in live, man. That was early if you ain't catch that, man. We talking about the industry between the poor folk and the rich folk, how they get inside the jails and they only do a small bid while the regular common folk, we do a long bid, man. We talking about everything, talking about everything in the industry, doing that 1-2. We got everything going on here. So if you ain't log on now. Call in at 347-826-7722, www.blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. I got nothing but beautiful, empowered young women on my line. It's on my street panel doing their thing. Street Queens is live in the building, shutting it down, man. And, you know, we don't stop. We can't stop. Bad boy, let's go, you know. But I'm gonna bring in my peoples because we got another subject, man. The subject is, man, basically, you know, we got rap artists, man. What's up with the image and why they glorifying incarceration and the lack of education? And a good example to touch bases on that is your man, you know what I'm saying, Razam, you know, doing this thing because he actually is an artist that has degrees and has a job and is doing this thing. Go ahead and drop the knowledge and introduce yourself to the Street Queens and the world and tell them what you're about, my dude.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. You got your network behind you, my dude?
Yeah, I'm on. You hear me?
I hear you, son. I hear you now. Verizon.
The name is Rodamez.
Okay.
Nah, I'm letting y'all know, you talking about, you know, artists that got degrees and stuff, people glorifying the whole hood life, jail life or whatever. I mean, you know, I grew up in Queens, New York, around the whole, you know, the hood or whatever you want to call it, and whatever everybody else glorifies. But, I mean, my thing is, I was surrounded around all that. You know what I mean? I was there, I was around that. For some reason, I had some kind of bubble protection going on. I just did my thing, did what I had to do, went to school, you know, went to college and just did what I had to do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if that's the way you grew up and that's your lifestyle, you went to jail and you did all that, I mean, that's cool. If that's what happened to you, that's what you're rapping about in your lyrics. If it's truth, you know what I'm saying, then that's truth. That's what you did. I can't say that stuff because I haven't experienced that. I got family that has, you know what I mean? In my artistry, I can tell a story based on what I've seen and what, you know, family has been through and friends and stuff. I got friends that went to jail. I got family that went to jail. We got, you know, family, you know, going to jail all the time. I got family that are cops, the correction officers, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we know all about the jail system, but when people are fronting and perpetrating, like, you know, they hard and got guns and want to shoot and blah, 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 because they think that's what people want to hear. You know what I'm saying? And that's not real. You messing up your own identity because you're trying to please a certain audience that thinks that they want to hear that. You know what I mean? But the thing about that is that your cards will be pulled. You know what I mean? If that's not your lifestyle, you will be pulled. If you make it in the industry, you know what I'm saying, and that's your forte, you hood and you gangster, whatever, your cards will be pulled. People know false when they see false. You know what I'm saying?
So right. You know, in regards to you, man, I know you got some degrees, man. You got some degrees. You know, even though you were surrounded by all that, people getting locked up and all that, you ain't want to be a product of your environment, you know. So you got you some good degrees. Tell us how many degrees you got. You know, what you doing? What's the positive stuff, man? Tell us what you doing, my man.
Well, right now, I'm president of this, label called Concrete Beats here in Indianapolis. I mean, I went to college for psychology business. I had a athletic scholarship to college, went to school, finished school. You know, when I graduated, I went to learn interpreting sign language for deaf people, got a degree in that. You know what I'm saying? My whole process and timeline is just basically kind of finding myself. When I started doing the music, it was kind of later, a little bit later in life, and started taking it real serious. But you know what I'm saying? When I first started, you were told to you know, try to get an education or whatever. If you have somebody to tell you that you were raised by parents or whatever, get your degree. Somebody who has some sense, some parents or whatever, tell you, get your degree, blah, blah, blah. That's the quote-unquote, you know, way to go in life. College ain't for everybody. But in my situation, I felt like I had to do that because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So it's like go to school. And I ain't saying I enjoyed school and college and I was a scholar or whatever, but I went to school because I felt like I had to. You know what I'm saying? Had I known I wanted to be an artist, a rapper, it was so deep and so serious then, I probably would have been, you know, one of them dudes who think, oh, I'm going to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? School ain't for me. But in my mind, it's like I have to do this. You know what I mean? I have to go to school. I have to have a backup plan or whatever. So as I got older, I wanted to do the music. You know what I'm saying? So I just had to, for me, I had to go to school and, you know what I'm saying, get some kind of knowledge and sense of something. You know what I mean?
And that's what's up, Ra-Ra, you know what I'm saying? You doing your one, too. Ladies, how do you feel about that? People perpetrating, like take for instance, I don't know, ladies, if any of y'all watched WorldStarHipHop.com, but they got basically a video about Lil Wayne, your man Lil Wayne, and your man Jim Jones. Perpetrating, talk about they bloods, they hood, this, that, and the third, you know what I'm saying? And OGs was on there basically pulling their card. You know, they said basically Jim Jones brought his way into the bloods, and you have bloods that's been incarcerated basically saying, you guys have actually, you know, you guys are on a pedestal right now. You guys have enough money to make a change to get people like us out of the hood. You know, we don't want to live this lifestyle no more. People done went to jail. People can't see their families no more, but yet you glorifying this stuff and promoting killing and all that stuff. But, you know, these are blood saying this stuff. You know what I mean? They said they sick and tired of it. And they said your little man Lil Wayne talking about he a blood, but when they first came out, you rocking blue scarves, all these different color scarves, but now you a blood? Come on, let's keep it real, man. Let's keep it real. Ladies, speak on it, man. Ladies, speak on it.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame that, you know, they're just, you know, teaching the young generation that, you know, glamorizing a lifestyle that's basically going to ruin their life, you know. These dudes are getting on the records, they're getting on the video, throwing money all over the place. And my opinion personally, just from experience, I mean, it's a lot of hype. Half of these dudes are not living what they got, what they're showing on TV. Mm-hmm. You're not running around with guns all day. Half of them don't even have half the money that they say. You know what I mean? And it's just like they're just embarrassing. To me, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad that they're teaching these young men and these young women, like they glamorize the women running around and showing their bodies off and acting like that's all that they have to, you know, to bring to the table. And then the men, they don't respect the women. I mean, the music nowadays is just ridiculous. It's like downgrading. It's killing our society.
And that's what
can I say something real quick? When you see that stuff on TV, all the glorification going on of with the jury and all this other going on, when you see people on MTV Cribs, you'll see a new artist on there with this big house. You know what I'm saying? They don't even own that. Labels give that to them for somewhere to be, you know what I mean, while they're in the process of making an album or whatever. They run around showing their crib, whatever. That's not even your crib. You know what I mean? You get an advance. You got to pay that back. You got to sell your records first. You know what I mean? When B2K or somebody, I was watching one time, they was in their house. I ain't even heard of them yet. You know what I mean? They blew up later after that, but they showing their house. Like, yo, son, you didn't even sell a record yet. That's really not your house. So they have to front. You know what I mean? It's a big front in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean,
90%
hype. And that's real talk. That's real talk. See, CG, how you feel about that, CG?
When you see the videos, and I mean, I don't know if anybody else in here like myself, I look at all different types of videos. I watch rock videos, I watch pop videos, you know, I watch, you know, hip-hop videos. I kind of can tell you what's going to happen in the next hip-hop video that comes on. It's going to have these things. It's going to have jewelry. It's going to have women. It's going to have cars, you know, and it's going to have money. And it's going to have champagne, okay? And in some of them now, you got the whole gang symbolization and everything. And these are the things that these kids see, not just kids, just people. Do you know how many people walk around wanting to be Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne is now putting out, you know, blood calls in his song, you know.
But he's
and then,
blood, though, man.
I know, but then you see videos on, you know, media takeout of Crip having him apprehended in his truck. Or, you know, or you see, you know, other people shouting out this and shouting out that. But if you speak to someone who's actually in the blood or someone else who is actually in the Crips, like,
and I don't glorify any of that stuff, but they have a certain code that they live and run by, and it's not all that flamboyant stuff.
Yeah, it's not flamboyant. I mean, these people will kill you, man. I mean, a lot of people, they promoting this stuff to these little kids, and these little kids is watching this stuff, and they promoting to them, and these kids, they can get these little kids killed because these bros ain't really playing. You understand? If they know, go back to the OGs, real talk, back in California, it was a whole neighborhood separated from Bloods to Crips. You wasn't walking over to that side. They was blowing your brains out.
Mm-hmm.
They was really literally blowing your brains out, man. And you know, Dara, how you feel about that, Dara? How you feel about that, Dara? How you feel about that? Because you quiet over there. How you feel about that?
I mean, it really makes me mad having a son. You know, it makes me look at it, and he sits there, and he sometimes tries to watch the videos, and, you know, he wants to sing the songs. And I'm like, listen, you don't even know what that means. I mean, half the time these guys are trying to make these kids feel like, you know, I could be a gangster, I could shoot somebody, I could get this money, I could do, you know, pretty much what I want to do. And these kids grow up thinking that that's okay, you know. And then people wonder why, you know, the jails are as full as they are, and, you know, there's kids running around with no jobs, and they just want to sell drugs and shoot people and kill people and rob people for money. I mean, there's nothing worse than what's going on right now with the video and the music industry, to be honest with you, as far as rap is concerned. And then
Emma,
you these artists.
Emma, how you feel about that, Emma?
Well,
Emma, how do you feel about that, Emma?
I feel that, you know, it's just a shame, because it goes back to the so-called fashion about these young kids walking with their pants hanging off their ass.
Emma.
I'm sorry. Off their behind, off their back part, the pants behind off the back part, and they're up to the knees, and they show their underwears. Not all of them are clean. And so we have, you know, we're exposed to seeing, you know, dirty underwears,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes clean. But what I'm saying is that they have their pants sewed down, and they think that that's cute because they've seen, you know, supposedly somebody that, I just came from prison, and this is the way we do it in prison. And so now it's implemented in, you know, the whole neighborhood, and they take that from there, not knowing really why the reason why they're walking with their pants hanging up to there, what exactly happened to them in prison that their pants are down that way, and it's not cute. So why would you be out here doing the same thing? I mean, it's just not cute, showing your, you know what I'm saying, the backside. And it goes back to, you know, these gangs too, they have their codes. You know, I know a couple of people that are true bloods and a higher rank, and they don't make songs and none of that. They don't, you know, glorify bling blings and all that stuff. Like, this is what they live. This is not something they rap about to make money or whatever. Like, this is their religion. You know, it's like a religion to them, like, because when you're, you know, part of a gang, you're part of a family, and it's a certain code that you live by. And it's not glorified the way these artists want to do it. But it goes back to, you know, thinking that, you know, this stigma that they got out. You need to be shot 9 times, or at least, you know, get stabbed 2 good times, you know, do 2 sentences. And then I think about, let me just have one brawl fight in a club, and then I think I'm good. You know?
Yeah, I'm gangster, you know? So
yeah,
that.
These teardrops tattooed on their face, that's the thing. To get a teardrop and you ain't never did nothing, you know? What's that?
You know? Y'all need to speak on that, job.
Nine out of ten, they'll grab a gun and shoot it and will be so panicky and nervous they won't know what to do with themselves.
Exactly.
That's what it is, man.
That's real talk.
So why he got teardrops mm-hmm. tattooed on his face? He accidentally shot himself. I mean, do you know what to do? I'm sorry. That's my.
Wow. Oh, God, man. I'm done.
Wow.
Wow. Javita, what you feel about that, Javita? Lil Wayne shot himself. Where he shot himself on his butt? Where he shot himself at? But anyway, Javita, how you feel about that?
I feel that it's really, you know, scandalous that they want to sit up here and lie about who they are and their upbringing, when the reality is that impoverished families in their communities work very hard to get to where middle class and high society families are. And the fact that you sit up there ashamed of the fact that your parents worked hard and struggled so that you could have a better life is a slap in the face. And, you know, you need to have a reality check. You know, everybody, you know, Snoop Dogg and Ice-T and 50 Cent, people who actually grew up in the hood, they not envious of where they came from. If they could have came from a better neighborhood, I'm sure they would have loved it and accepted it. Unlike people, you know, like Lil Jon, who got a master's degree. You got Vanilla Ice, who lied about, you know, being from a middle-class neighborhood. There is nothing wrong with where you are from.
Don't forget your man Plies. He got a degree,
exactly.
too.
And Plies with a degree. You know, it's a lot of them out there who have education. Yeah.
No, John got a master's degree, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of them out there who have education, who have worked very hard for their success, and hiding behind it and acting illiterate. And it's insulting.
I was a nerd, man. You seen this picture? You was a nerd, dog. Come on, man.
It's flat out insulting and degrading to their families and to them and to the educational system as a whole. You know, if you weren't going to apply yourself and be proud of what you had, why did you even go through the trouble of getting it anyway? Yeah, you're using it to make these records and things, but you're portraying a false image to American children and just society as a whole, acting like you didn't have to do anything except get on a mic and MC so that you could be successful, when it's not true. There's a lot of hard work that goes into making an album or doing anything in life. And when you look at, I mean, there are positive artists out there. You know, you have to give them respect, like Common and Nas and MC Hammer, who was like way before his time. And I know that they like pick at MC Hammer, like, because he tried to bring up his community. But if
he brought jobs, man. He brought jobs to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he brought God to people, too. And
so Master P bought his own projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
this project.
A lot of
stuff.
Sorry.
Hey, ladies, I'm going to bring in another call. I've been holding patiently on the line. 913, you're live on the building with Lush Radio and the Street Queens, man. What's up, player?
Yeah, what's going on, man? This is Joe Black, Rotto.
What's
my brother,
up, Joe?
My brother right there, man. That's my brother, man. What's going on, everybody?
What's up with it?
Really, man. I had a little something to say about this, man. As far as the negative images of hip hop, I'm a hip hop fan from LL, from Kool Moe Dee, Rakim, from back in the day, man. And,
me too.
And I really can't even blame the artists so much as the labels and the A&Rs and the exec people, because you got positive people like Common, Mos Def, Rada. You know what I mean? You got positive people that don't sell records. They got to go and act to get money. Mos Def is in Hollywood now. Common's in Hollywood now. You know what I mean? You got people who gotta act to sell records. They spitting real positive stuff. Like Nas, he's one of the illest. He's top three MC.
Yeah.
He don't sell records. He getting outsold by people like Plies and cats like that. Soulja Boy.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's like the industry set a standard to where they like the fact that they can, like, you know, kill our people by brainwashing us with this music. I mean, a lot of people don't buy into it, but for the people that do, it's like the industry set a standard. It's like, if you're not talking about negative stuff, if you're not talking about guns or hoes or whatever the case may be, we're not supporting you, we're not holding you down. They have their own objectives, their own agendas on why, you know, they push this type of music. And it's really up to you as an individual. Like, come on, we got a black president. Like, we have to reclaim our
power. What does that say? What does that say about our people, though? What does that say about society?
Exactly. That's my point. We have to reclaim our power. Pay attention. Stop buying the lies that the industry is selling you. There's so much more that each and every person has talents within themselves. You don't have to be a rapper. You don't have to be a stripper. They glamorize the strippers. It's like any black woman now, it's like, oh, she's a hoe or a stripper. You know, black men, rappers or ball players. Like, get serious. They're scientists.
Every song that comes out is for a stripper. Every song that
exactly.
the dude does for a woman is for somebody that's sliding up and down a pole. Hello, can somebody do a song for me? Like, I am not sliding up and down a pole. For I don't have nothing against the ones that do it. I don't have none against the women that do it for whatever reason. I can't. Well, I don't, because I have friends that do it for, and well, they have their reasons. I'm just saying, this industry is big enough. There's a lot of R&Bs. Must it be music just to those women that are sliding up and down the pole?
I mean, can you know? Can it be just for the ones that are just walking or driving or at
but
home?
Make it, can it be independent sure. women that got businesses going on? You
That's
know, powerful that got education.
Neo, the Rah-Rah, only one.
You know,
Neo, the only one. Neo.
Yeah, your man Rara said, I don't have to do 4 years of big. I do 4 years of college, you heard? Yeah.
That's what it's saying. Even with now with Obama being in office, you got people who are really supporting us and making the right decisions, but then you got people like Jeezy who make a song, My President is Black. And in the lyrics, he says, My president is black. He says, My president is black, my Lambo's blue. Like, I was so aggravated with that dude. Like, what? And wait,
he had to add that. He couldn't just leave with the positivity.
Yeah, I feel you, but as a with the accountability thing, you know what I mean? As an artist, you right, you have to take accountability, but how you going to tell a 17-year-old kid like Soulja Boy turn down $8 million and go to school? You know what I mean? When the labels are throwing it in their face.
I'm not mad at Soulja Boy. Because he's smart.
I'm saying
he's smart. I'm not even talking about Soulja Boy. I'm talking about like Young Jeezy.
These artists.
Can I tell y'all something though? The thing I want to say about in regards to Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy at 17 years old is very intelligent. He knew how to monopolize on the system. He knew he was playing against a machine. He caused his own branding and his own buzz for himself for these record labels to come at him. At 17, he is paid. He manipulized the game. Soulja Boy admitted that he can rap better than what he does, but why not when the consumer wants it? So what does that say for the consumer?
Yeah, exactly.
Never mind the fact that he's still in school.
I keep trying to get back to that point. It's like the industry set a standard and everybody's buying into it. Like, you know, on a smaller level, you can support independent artists. You don't have to go and just only watch MTV and BET. There's a lot of independent artists that make good music. You know what I mean? And you don't have to only go out here and listen to everything that the industry's pushing. Like, keep it real. Black people make beautiful music all day. We're really the originators of good music, if you ask me.
And Latino, too. I just want to let that out. Latino, too. No, I'm on the panel.
Fuck you. Emma will cut you.
Just put him on the panel.
But you see, does anybody feel me at all? Like,
yeah, definitely.
I feel you, but I'm saying, out of all that, who's the blame for that? Like, Soulja Boy got to do this kind of music to get, you know, who's the blame for that? Is it
Let me tell y'all something, right? Right now, this is the question. We've done enough blaming. I'm going to go down the line, and we're going to figure out solutions. What do we do to change the mindset of the youth? What do we do as individuals to do that? Starting off with Jarvita, and we're going down the line. Jarvita, what do you propose that we should do?
Well, you know, in regards to changing the mindset of our children, we have to first evaluate ourselves as adults and as parents and start becoming more involved in our children and what they're doing. You know, we talk about the crime rate and the music in the industry and how it affects our children, even children who come from generations of families who have been incarcerated, like 50 Cent. You have to take into account where they're from and the situations and how we can, what can we do and what systems can we put in place to make a difference and to change this cycle. I mean, when it comes to the economy, when you first look at it, since 1934, they actually did a 16-year study in terms of the crime rate in relation to the economy. And crime rates rose between 1955 to 1972 when the U.S. economy surged in relation to the early 1960s. But the irony is during that time, during the 1970s, crime rates increased over 140%. You know, murder rates had rose 70%, rapes doubled, and thefts nearly tripled. But between the Great Depression era, between 1934 and 1938, crime actually went down, and that was during the heart of the Great Depression, and it was because of the programs that they put in place. Now, we have had over the past 20 years in the 1980s a large increase of African-American men and just men in general going to jail for crimes, but what we have found is by implementing a increase in wage, that has helped to bring down the crime rate. And that's why what Obama is doing in terms of wanting to increase the wages, that really is going to help us in the long run in terms of trying to keep the crime rate down, because when people can afford to buy things, they're less inclined to do that. But you need to get involved in your programs out in your community. You know that Boys and Girls Club, Recreation Center, there are a lot of children rehabilitation services available for kids who have come out of being incarceration, and actually support groups for parents and mothers. And it's important for us to be involved with that and to participate in that if we are to actually make a difference. And as far as what our kids listen to, we just need to censor the music and basically sit down and explain to them why that's wrong and why we need to what we need to do to change that, and encourage them that you don't have to be like this person. Yeah, you can admire their music, you can admire what they're doing, but you can also make a conscious decision to be better than them and to rise above what they're doing and make us proud as a nation.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. Emma, go ahead and drop the knowledge. What do you propose we should do for change, man?
Well, I mean, the reason why these young kids are doing those type of things as far as for the music industry is because, again, the consumers, you know, the consumers are buying it. They're saying that, you know, I'll buy your CD if you say, you know, you drop 3 kilos down the block. So I think that, you know, we need to definitely go in our communities. Like for me myself, for maybe like the last past 10 years, I do open mics. And I get clubs and I get the local artists to come out and they get to perform. And I find ways where they still can, you know, express themselves and still can make their money, like, you know, doing their CD, burning their CDs and doing shows here and there. It may not be that big money, but at least they, you know, staying true to the way they want to rap, and that they don't have to, you know, like sell out, in other words, or whatever, you know. Another thing is going to these schools and creating programs if there are none. Like Jarvita said, the Boys and Girls Club, anywhere where your kids or your nieces or your cousins or whatever attend school, and you know that those create a talent show, just kind of making opportunities where they can be able to express themselves. So when the industry comes and attacks them and all that, they are more prepared to deal with it, you know. It's just like, again, you got a 17-year-old and you got them talking about, here's $1 million, you know, sign right here, whatever. The last thing that kid is thinking about is, yeah, continuing school. You know what? I think I'll just go to college and you could keep your million. No, I mean, you know. So, but if that 17-year-old was early on instilled in his life that he is better, he can do better if he continues education and all that, I believe, yeah, he would turn that down and he would continue his studies. But that only happens, again, with, you know, it takes a village. It takes a village. Everybody can play a role. Mm-hmm. Everybody can play a role. Support your local artists. On MySpace, there's thousands and millions of artists that are great, are fabulous, R&B rappers that create their own music. You know, and they want to sell their CDs for $5. You can't pay $5 for good music. It's still good music. So what? Because they're not Jeezy or whoever. But if it's good music, support your local artists. And if the local artists are being supported, none of that, all that will start diminishing.
And that's the truth. And on that note, I'm going to bring in one quick caller. This is Cool V real quick. He has Operation Week here, and he only had to stay on real quick, and he got a jet for a conference call. Cool V, tell him about Operation Week here, and what can we do to change the youth in regards to, you know, incarceration and the whole outlook of negativity, man, real quick.
Okay. First, big up to everybody on the panel. Everybody was making some valid points, man. Checking it. And pretty much Operation Weekend is a company built for...
Somebody
got to
lower the radio. I'm sorry, excuse me. We're getting feedback. Yeah, somebody's listening in to the show, and we're getting late feedback.
Okay. Well, Operation We Care is basically a company built for disadvantaged youth and for homeless people, you know, pretty much to create change like the ladies was talking about. Real brief, my whole thing is with the music industry, for working in it through years and working for the labels, the problem is that you got these marketing giants that are telling these independent artists that if you sign on the line, sex, drugs, and violence sells. And what we need to start attacking is start attacking these companies that's pushing this stuff out, because not one rapper, not one R&B artist owns a distribution company, nor do they own Viacom, which gives the platform for these artists to perform on. So these are the companies that's pushing it out. So a lot of times it's not all about the artist that's pushing out. That's what the media want to say. Well, that's the only thing we make, because there's plenty of good music. You got Nas, you got Dead Presidents, you got a lot of independent artists that, and major artists that are making good songs. For example, you had when it was the whole Nappy had a whole issue. Everybody blew that up, and every black person was on it. But meanwhile, just 2 months prior, you had Styles P and Floyd Tree that came with a song called I'm Black. And they were banned from FCC, which was a positive song, no swearing, no cursing. Look it up. They banned it out, and not one person actually spoke about it. So the thing is that we're attacking the wrong people. We need to start telling the labels, we're not going to support you. We're not going to buy your product until you change it. We're not going to watch BET unless you change the programming. So it starts standing in all, like the young lady said, it starts with home training, too, where you change the value. Then it also starts with realistic solutions, because at the end of the day, if I'm making $5,000 a week, I'm not going to stop to make $150 to be a fry guy to make somebody feel better, because at the end of the day, bills got to get paid. So I think it's about making realistic solutions, creating realistic change, and actually coming with opportunities that's relatable for the kids and realistic programs, as opposed to let a cop come speak at school. Because if I'm a kid in the school and hustling on the street, 9 out of 10 times, it's that same cop harassing me. So why would I want to hear from him anything he has to say? So it's pretty much, you know, being relatable, having something that, you know, kids relate to, also being positive. I think it really starts from actually creating a positive image with each person, making these kids feel like they're worth. It's the self-value thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Showcase them saying, you know, it's not about obtaining cars, diamonds, and jewels, because it's a guy named Brian Grant that had a book called 10 Secrets of Success. And it basically emphasizes that, you know what, it's not about material wealth, because people who thought that once they obtained this car, once they obtained this wealth, that they would feel like they're successful, and they still was empty. You know, case point, Michael Jackson, okay? Money doesn't change everything. And the same thing is also about what successful is, you have to believe in you. That's it. Well, it's time for us to start supporting our kids, creating realistic solutions, and then supporting people who have programs such as Lush Radio Online and Operation We Care, and everybody online is doing something positive.
Street Queens. Don't forget the Street Queens.
Oh, come on. You know I can't forget it. Street Queens is Benini. So I'm just saying, you know, Street Queens, you know, everything is positive, point blank. Even from my community, your hood, it's all about everybody cross-promoting everything, because, you know, when it comes to poverty, when it comes to violence, when it comes to teen pregnancy, when it comes to AIDS, these are worldwide epidemics. So it's not just about what's happening in my area. This is where everybody's neck of the wood, because if you don't take care of that fire in your backyard, it'll burn your house up. Done.
Oh, we love you, Cool V, man. Go ahead and shout out Trump.
I love y'all, too. Well, I love everybody, man. I'm about to head up for a conference call, man, but I wanted to show my girl, Lushy, the crazy love, and show the Street Queens some love. I mean, y'all can check us out. One is for Operation We Care. It's www.operation. We Care, WECARE.blogspot.com is where you find info if you want to join the movement. Go to operationwecare.ning.com, and that's for if you want to, you know, definitely be a part of the movement and participate. And also for those people that, you know, y'all looking for outlets and want to learn the industry, then you go right there to www.trunkhustlers.com. You know, you'll see a lot of people bigger ranking, TJ's, Chapman, Latin Prince, for the head of Universal Records, blah, 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 telling you how they made it. Sway and Tech from MTV telling you how they made it. So you want to hear Jules, here's your way out. And for my last note, for y'all young people, you know, y'all got to listen to what these ladies are saying right here on this line, because they dropping some serious jewels, and it's not about the bling, it's about creating change. The coolest thing you can do is be you, be an individual. Real talk.
It's official, blow the whistle.
You already know what it is, man. Lush, to my Street Queens, we going to keep it live, and that's what it is.
That's what it is. That's cool.
He really made some good points.
That's what it is, man. So we're going down the line. Dara, man, how do you propose we make change, Dara?
You know what? I think Cool V just summed it all up right now. He took everything I was getting ready to say.
Exactly.
He's
so real. Like, yeah, he made some good points.
But it does. It starts off with the home, and we do need to start, you know, pulling some weight around with the distribution companies and saying, listen, we're not going to buy this anymore. We're not going to support this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the artists only have so much power.
And that's what it is. Rah-rah. Oh, yo, you the artist, man. How you propose change, man? You doing the music. You putting it out there. So how we going to propose change, rah-rah?
Well, my theory is, I know people are saying hit the parents up and reprimand your kids. But one thing I want to say is that a lot of times it's hard to reprimand your kids because your kids are going to listen to what they want to listen to. You know what I'm saying? People saying, you know, teach kids. It all starts in the home. That's true. Kids ultimately are going to make up their own decision, what they want to do, what they want to listen to, how they want to act and all that stuff. Because I think they have a much kind of larger influence on nature and nurture versus nurture. It will be, you know, outside of school and in the environment, TV, BET, MTV, what's going on. Another thing I was going to say is that targeting a lot of the radio stations, because a lot of the radio stations play a lot of the garbage that's on. I don't want to say garbage because I like all music. I don't have a problem with the music that's being played. It's just that mix it up a little bit. After you play Soulja Boy, play Nas. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear a whole list of, you know, the same repetitive stuff. Another area we need to target is like the big honchos in the industry, like the 50 Cent, the Jay-Z's, and the Sean Combs. Like you said earlier, let them know it wasn't easy to get there. You know what I'm saying? It's cool, you know, listen to Jay-Z, listen to 50 Cent or whatever, but those are the dudes that need to let people know, because a lot of people look up to them and say, you know what I'm saying, I made it this way, but here's another way you can go. You can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, you can be whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's cool, buy my music or whatever, but let me explain to you the difference. You know what I mean? I've really lived this life, 50 Cent or whoever. You know what I mean? I've really lived this life, but you don't have to go that route. Those dudes, you know what I'm saying, they glorify the lifestyles, but I think they should let people know, you know what I mean, what the real is. And like I said before, I don't have a problem with a lot of the music that's out. I just think it's just so much of the same stuff, the repetitive content, you know what I mean? Mix it up, you know what I'm saying? All the radio stations mix it up. That's one of the people, like we said, the BET and the BET. Those are the people to target. What's the chick that owns BT, whatever? She has control over everything. She plays, you know, she's the final say in everything. They
Clear
need to,
Channel?
Clear Channel?
Hey, I can't remember her name. She's the president, the lady.
Oh, you're talking about
her. We know you're talking about
her. You know what I'm saying? She controls what's being played. But those the upper people that have control, you know what I'm saying, they can make the change. That's ultimately, like you said, the consumer can say, I'm not going to buy this or whatever, but, I mean, you know, you got to run a campaign with something like that. We're going to have Obama say something like that for everybody to just, you know what I'm saying, not buy the crap that's going on. You know, it's going to take a big voice for the people, the consumers, to not support that product.
Rah, because I know we got to go down a lot. Drop the jewels and tell them where they can, you know, hit you at in regards to your music. And Street Queens, just to let you know, he got this hot song called Strong, talking about, you know, it's okay to be smart and everything. And I'm going to play it one day on the show, you know. So go ahead and drop them jewels real quick, Rah.
Sign me up. I'm getting a website that's getting put up called radamez.com, RADAMEZ.com. It's in the works right now. You can find me on MySpace, my old camp, Click, everybody, Concrete Beats, at MySpace, Radamez, CC, if you do MySpace, / Radamez, and it's two C's at the end of that. And
okay.
The whole camp is on there, the whole squad. That's where you can find me at.
That's what it is, Radamez. Get them degrees, man. That's what it is, man. Can I have one too, son? That's what it is, man. Miss Toy, go ahead and tell them how we can make change, Miss Toy.
I mean, personally, I think it starts, you know, with each and every person. I mean, people just have to start paying attention to what's going on around them and, like, really looking and not buy the hype. Like, If you bought the hype that, you know, by trying to get into the game you're gonna make a whole bunch of money and you're gonna be rich and you're gonna have flashy cars, that's great. But like there's a big world out here, and it's time to start teaching our children that there's a big world. It's not only about trying to get Lamborghinis and, you know, because at the end of the day, the music business, all of this stuff is all incorporated, man. It's all to make money.
You know what I mean? And they got all these marketing campaigns to make you want to buy this and listen to this and listen to that. But at the end of the day, if you're not a rapper, what are you supposed to do? People have to start teaching their children, you know, just to be global, pay attention to where their talents are within themselves so that they can be cultivated to become the people that they're going to be, regardless of what it is. Because it is really cool to be a scientist. It is cool to be, you know, not only ball players or, you know, rappers or R&B singers or whatever. You know, everybody has their own personal talents, and I think that people need to cultivate their talents and read books. You don't only have to listen to music, you know. And I really have to encourage, you know, the young people that are out here making music, make the music that you think is good music and then sell it within your community. Sell it yourself. Go independent. Don't only make music that you think is going to sell because you hear maybe Nas, not Nas, because Nas is my dude, you know, these negative rappers, you know, saying what they saying. Don't just do what they do. Do what works for you. You know, be strong. Give a real positive message because there is positivity out here, and there are people that are scared to say it because nobody else is. Somebody has to stand up and say it's okay to be smart. It's okay to be knowledgeable. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to be creative. You know what I mean? That's just the way that I feel.
That's what it is, man. Mm-hmm. That's CG, go ahead and drop the jewels and tell us, how should we make change?
I mean, everybody basically touched on, I mean, the strong points. Like I said, I agree with everyone. It starts at home. I do believe that. I think the parents, you know, and it's easy for me to say because I don't have children, but we got to stop using the TV as a babysitter. You know, sometimes you want to get away and you just put the TV on and go and do what you got to do and let your kid watch the TV. And that's where a lot of it, you know, comes from. And also, like I said, being able to interview real artists and being able to interview, you know, commercial artists. And I'm not saying, you know, that, I mean, it's my opinion. I know who I enjoy their music and who I don't, so I'm not going to say any names out there.
Don't drop no names. No name dropping.
Don't have anything. Like, I mean, I did an interview today and one of the artists said to me, I mean, if these radio stations would open up chat rooms and actually listen to what the callers want to hear. Because yes, the consumers are buying it, but you got to look at it like this. You only buy what you hear. You go and buy a CD because you heard that song, and you heard that song on the radio, or you heard that song when you watched the video. You know, we only buy what we're exposed to. So, I mean, if we were exposed to different music, you know, and if other artists that, you know, are underrated, that don't get that much burn, that are excellent, talented, you know, artists like Jaheim, one of the best singers out right now, doesn't get as much burn as a lot of these artists that can't sing worth a lick.
Exactly.
You know, we've got, you know, artists that I'm going to keep shouting them out because, you know, I think they have their own original style. You know, artists like Camp Lo, you know, who have, you know, yes, original CDs and just got their own style and bring up, but you don't hear them on the radio. You know, and then if you do, you hear them maybe what, once every what month, and their song doesn't get burned like that.
So I'm not talking about that
they're
trying to push.
And that's the truth right there, CG, man. You dropped them serious jewels, man. And Jay Wright, you know what I'm saying? Jay, go ahead and drop the jewels. How we going to make change? You know what I'm saying? You MC, how we going to make change, my dude? JJ, right? Rada? Brother?
Rada? Rada, brother. Joe Black, man.
Joe Black?
I thought you was talking to somebody else. I'm listening for Jay Wright.
I'm like,
who? No doubt. My fault. Yeah, everybody touched on it, man. Like, I got two children, man, and my son is six. You gotta have structure. Like, I'm old school, man. And your life, if your son gotta be to school at 8:30, you can't wake him up at 7:30 and tell him to get ready, man. He gotta be up, ready for school. When he get home, you can't turn on the TV. He gotta get to work, give him a book to read. It starts from the home, man. When I'm in the car and we listening to music, I explain why you can't say this or why he's saying this or, you know, on TV, if we are watching TV, why they're doing this, why you can't shoot 20 people and you're not going to get away with it. You're going to go to jail if you do that in real life. You got to explain what's fake and what's real, you know, to these kids, man. And
you know, the radio thing as far as balance, like Ryder was saying. You know, you got your top 20 singles, but let's play Common. Let's play Mos
yeah.
Def. Let's play Nas. Let's play Ryder on the radio. You know what I mean? They got something to say. People need to hear. People want to party. You know, everybody want to party. Everybody want to have a dance song and percolate and all that. But then, you know, we want to hear some positivity too.
That's yeah, percolate.
You know what I mean? That's old.
I mean, isn't it a good point that music is one of the best ways to teach people?
Exactly.
You know, music has been used for generations to teach people, and it's sad because the industry knows that. So all they're doing is teaching our children that you can't do much. I mean, go out there, yeah, go ahead, sell drugs, get all the guns, you shining, you flossing, you doing your thing, you big pimping, that's what's up, do that. And then you hear the kids basically saying the same things they hear on the radio.
And that's
what I mean.
You know something, would you look at one, look at this aspect, you look at society, people want it easy sometimes. Just think of things. This is going to sound real crazy. You know what I'm saying? We want it easy. I know someone who said they don't like certain people like Jay-Z or Nas because you have to think too hard about what they're saying.
Got to think about what they're
saying.
Yeah. You think about this. Think about how society's kind of lazy. We got remotes for everything. We got things that are easy for us to do. Instead of getting up, change the channel, we want to press the button. We got the remote. Just little things, technology, how technology is growing. Well, we don't have to do too much, but just sit there. People don't want to sit and listen to what the artist is saying.
That's the truth right there, you know, Joe Black, you know. But, you know, once again, you know, we going on short time, you know. Go ahead and give them that place where they can check you out, my dude, you know. And we truly appreciate both of y'all and all the callers that called in, because Miss Toy is going to rap and summarize the whole show. But before that, I want you to drop your jewels and tell them where they can hit you at, my dude.
Oh, no doubt, man. This is really about my brother Ryder Mez, but I'm on that Concrete album. Matter of fact, that's about to drop. Concrete, Naptown.
Yeah.
What up? MySpace / Joe Black, OKNY, you know. And, man, we just doing it, man. I want to thank you, Lush, for giving my brother this opportunity, man, to be on the radio and all that. He really trying to get on. And, you know, I'm pushing for him right now. When he get on, we all get on. You know what I mean? I'm pushing for him and all the positivity. Ladies, it was a pleasure listening to you. And keep doing your thing, man. I miss New York, baby.
Oh, man. That was crazy, right? I gotta send a shout out to all the people that was in the chat room. Heat Entertainment, Heat Magazine, your man that actually called from behind the bars, and also your man King Penny AS, Cool V, TrunkHustlers.com. Check that out, www.TrunkHustlers.com. I wanna thank Delia James, you know, Concrete Beast doing a 1-2, you know what I'm saying? The president actually had these gentlemen call in. Shout out to her. She doing a 1-2. And not just but in doing Concrete, she doing her other things separately, making moves and stuff. She is a Street Queen Ambassador. I dub you right now. Go ahead and get your crown, my dude. You heard, man. But like I said, Miss Toy, you have been dubbed to wrap up the show and tell us what this show was about and read the creed for us while I get the other rundowns, man. Go ahead, girl.
Well, first and foremost, you know, the show, we want to thank everyone for listening in the Street Queens. We do appreciate you listening to us. We do this every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of our show this evening was life behind the walls, living while incarcerated. But we touched on some very important issues tonight. We did do a parallel of the, you know, celebrities when they get incarcerated and they do crimes, as opposed to average street people that do crimes and do more time than celebrities, and why that happens. We talked about, you know, R. Kelly, T.I., 50 Cent, Lindsay Lohan, Nicole Richie. We talked about why rap artists glorify incarceration and they hide behind, you know, a lack of education, or they promote ignorance. We discussed what we can do as a people to change that, what we can do in our homes and in our communities. And for those artists that called in, like Ryder Mez and the Gentleman Kingpin, those people that called in and gave their really good opinions and their insight, you know, we took a chance to say, you know, how are we going to fix these things? We as Street Queens, our mission is to empower and support the diverse needs of the people. And we live that every single day outside of the show. And our creed
is the street queens are here to show our future leaders the way, walking and talking life struggles every day. Like the sands of time, we are an inescapable entity, bringing light into dark places and filling despair with hope. And we do encourage you, young and old, to make a change in your community, to promote positivity, and encourage global and social change. So, this is Ms. Toy signing off. Ladies, we all going to say goodnight.
Ms. Toy signing off. But before we go, I just have to let you guys know, Street Queens are doing a Street Queens Christmas, where we're asking the people to donate cards, send cards in, so we can send them to the prison, the inmates in there, so they can, you know, have their good Christmas. Also, we're having Emma's also doing a drive in regards to Thanksgiving for you know, the people that that are disadvantaged in regards to Thanksgiving. And we're also doing a Toys for Tots Street Queens. And we also have a young lady that's in South Carolina doing a canned food drive, Families Helping Families, BlackDiamondPromotions.com. Check her out also. But if you have any letters of donation, and we're also doing an Adopt a Family for Christmas to help them out with their Christmas. If you have any letters you want to send or donations, you can send it to our official P.O. box at Street Queens, official P.O. box, P.O. box 31512, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731-0512. Send all your emails, send all your messages and donations and stuff there. If you want to email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com, man. And we love you all, man. Love, peace, and happiness, man. You can do anything you put your mind to. I love all my street queens. I love all my callers that called in. All of y'all are beautiful. All of y'all are wonderful, and I'm proud of you ladies. And that power call we had on Tuesday was wonderful. It got me through the day, and I love y'all, man. And I got to play this song, man. You know, this one right here is from Nas. You know, a lot of people think that they can't do what they can, but this song is dedicated to all my people. I know I can be what I want to be. Hey, here you go. This is for my street queens and everybody. Love y'all.
Peace.
Good night.
Peace.
Peace. Okay, my switchboard. Oh.
Anything in the world, and God we trust, an architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy, it takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star, she was very beautiful, leaving people in awe, singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version, hung with the wrong person, got a strong one that's sniffing up drugs, all in her nose, could have died so young, now looks ugly and old, no fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death, watch the company you keep, and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs, and you came to sing, so if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how, put your hands in the air, and take the vow, I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be,
if I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be, boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be,
if I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Now, go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the music, y'all.
That's what's up, but...